Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when St. Paul wants to rehearse before the Corinthians the message of the gospel that he preached and they received, his gospel is summed up like this. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. All right? So notice the suffering and death of Christ on the cross, his burial, his resurrection the third day, and his eyewitnesses who saw him risen from the dead. Now this is an excellent summary of the gospel. So now we come to our gospel lesson for the day, and Jesus, one of numerous times he does this, he takes the 12 aside and he says, now listen up. He says, we are going up to Jerusalem. Now listen to this. All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Right? Now it's important that you know that the first thing that Jesus says to his disciples is that the things that are going to happen to him in Jerusalem are exactly what was predicted by the prophets in the Old Testament, and that all of what they prophesied in the Old Testament will be accomplished in the suffering, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, if the church is upheld on a three-legged stool, one of those legs is Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in Christ. The second leg of the stool is miracles, and the third leg of the stool is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So here Jesus, as he has done several times before this, and as he will again do several more times, he wants to kind of nail into their heads the idea that his coming, suffering, and death, and resurrection are not some kind of oddball, out there idea that they can just ignore, but that it is precisely what was being talked about from the time of Adam and Eve all the way up until the time of John the Baptist. So he takes them aside and he says, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And everything written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. The whole Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. All right? He is the great person behind the scenes in everything that is done and said. So, then Jesus explains the details of what's about to happen in fulfillment of prophecy. He says, for the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, handed over to the Romans, and he shall be mocked, he shall be spitefully entreated, and spit upon, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. So what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, this is what it means to be the Messiah. This is what it means to believe in me. to believe in him who is crucified and risen from the dead. This is the essence and the center of the Christian faith. A Christianity without a sound and pure understanding of these words is false. And then we see the reaction of the disciples. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things that were spoken. All right, so three things saying the same thing. They didn't get it. All right? No matter how many times Jesus tried to show them the central point, they didn't get it. They let it go right over their head. You remember that when Jesus said to the disciples, who are people saying that I am? And they said, oh, some people say you're John the Baptist, come back to from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. He goes, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then the conversation goes on. But here, Peter, inspired by God the Father in heaven, confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus commends him. And then, after that conversation is over, the Bible says that Jesus began to show them that he must go to Jerusalem, be rejected by the elders, be crucified, dead, and on the third day rise from the dead. And when he said this to the disciples, Peter, the guy who had just confessed him to be the Messiah, he said, Jesus, are you crazy? This will never happen to you. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not understand the things of God, but the things of men. And see, here's the dilemma that the disciples were in. All their lives, they had been listening to the works righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. All their lives, they had a picture of the Messiah that was constantly reinforced. When the Messiah comes, he's going to smash these Romans, and then we will rule the world, and everyone will be subject to us, God's people. And this was the idea. Whenever you said the word Messiah, this idea came into people's heads. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were looking for. A great leader who would come and knock the heads of these Romans and set us up the way we ought to be as the rulers of the world. So the disciples had been listening to this stuff since they were little kids. And so when Jesus, whom they have confessed to be the Christ, when he starts telling them that he's going to be rejected, mocked, spit upon, crucified, dead, buried, and risen from the dead, they don't know what to make about it. They don't know what to think. And their confusion is because of the interference of human reason. You see, God's word out of the lips of Jesus is telling them one thing, but sinful human reason in their heads is saying he can't be serious. He's not really being literal. What in the world is he talking about? All right? And so they remained utterly in the dark, like so many people, even professing Christians, even churchgoers. They haven't got a clue about what the Christian faith means. They go to church because they think they're supposed to do good things. They go to church because they feel God wants them to go to church, so they go to church. And they think that being a Christian is a matter of being a good person. All right? And that's what it's all about. You go and you sit through a sermon once a week, and then you spend your week trying to be a good person. And that's what Christianity is. And you talk to them about the cross of Christ. You talk to them about the redeeming work of Christ and the one cause of our salvation, and they look at you like a cow staring at a new gate. They don't get it. Why? Because they got an idea in their head. It's called reason, human reason. And their idea of Christianity is utterly opposed to what Jesus says Christianity is. But they got this idea in their head, and every time the pastor tries to tell them the truth, they kind of just deflect it. Deflect it. It's like the word comes right at them, and they use their old noodles to deflect it right around them, and they don't get it. And they sit for generations in the church, utterly ignorant. The thing is hidden from them because they will not let the word of God sink down through the shield and barrier of human reason. So the disciples are going to have to face these things unprepared. Thank goodness, though, that Jesus did not only tell them this for the moment, but he knew that after his resurrection, they would get it. Once everything had happened, and once he showed himself alive, the lights would go on, and they would go on, boom, like that. And so, partly Jesus is saying this to prepare them for what's coming. But failing that, he said it so that when everything did happen and he showed himself alive to them after his passion, the lights would go on and they would never go dim again. All right, so now, we have, on the one hand, the Christ-centered preaching of the gospel. And on the other hand, the interference of sinful human reasoning. And then we have the third part of our text is a picture to us of somebody who gets it. Somebody who gets it. So they're entering into the city of Jericho, and there's a beggar, blind beggar, sitting by the wayside. That's the side of the road. And he's begging. He's doing what blind beggars do. He's begging. And he hears the multitude passing by. And he said, What's going on? What's going on? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he is shocked. He's heard about Jesus. He's heard about the many miracles that Jesus has performed. He's heard of the many things that Jesus Christ has said, and he's picked up what other people are saying about him, that people think that he's the Messiah. And this man, here he is. He is under no illusions about himself. I think I'm basically a good person. You know, we say in our modern way, I'm a good person. No, you're an evil sinner. You know, there's this very revealing thing that Jesus says to his disciples. To his disciples. Listen, he's talking about God giving good gifts to his children. And he says, listen, he says, if you, he's talking to disciples, believers, righteous people. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him? You see? Jesus' basic ground assumption about human beings is that we're evil. We're sinful. All right? It's not true when somebody, some modern person, I'm a good person and I'm spiritual. All right? Nonsense. All right? All spirituality that is not directly connected to the Word of God is false, demonic spirituality. And all pretensions of human goodness are lies from the devil. And those lies keep people from repenting of their sins and believing in Jesus Christ. But this guy here, he's blind and he knows it. He's a beggar and he knows it. He does not have rose-colored glasses on his eyes. He knows what he is and he knows what he needs. And suddenly he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he starts in. Jesus, thou son of David. He's calling him the Messiah. That's son of David. That means Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me. All right? So he is praying to Jesus. He's calling Jesus the Messiah in confession of faith. And he is asking Jesus to have mercy on him. And all the people that are in the entourage of Jesus, right? They're saying, shut up, shut up, you're being annoying, shut up. It's embarrassing to listen to you, right? And he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He will not be stopped. He will believe in Jesus to the point of being annoying about it. And Jesus stops. And he says, bring that guy over here. And so they bring him before Jesus. And Jesus looks at this man and says, what do you want me to do for you? And the man says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now you see, this man in his blind beggarness is a picture of sinners who don't understand the Word of God. They don't get it. Just like the disciples here. Every time Jesus tried to tell them about his coming crucifixion, death and resurrection, it went in one ear and right out the other. They couldn't hear it. It was hid from them. They didn't understand it. Here's a man who understands who Jesus is. And he is a picture of someone who gets it. And he says to Jesus, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Just like we ought to say when we are reading our Bibles or listening to a sermon and we don't understand it, Lord, that I may receive sight, that I may understand, that I may know, that I may be enlightened. And so he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. So Jesus commands his sight to come into him. And he tells the man that his faith in Christ has saved him. Not only restored his sight, but saved his soul. This man had saving faith in Christ the Lord. And the Bible tells us that immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. You know, whenever you talk to somebody about their conversion to Christian faith, they always talk about this period of time in which they were in ignorance and unbelief. And then, one day, like that, a change takes place. And from that moment on, they get it. What is the that? It's the fact that for so long, we let our corrupt, sinful human reason interfere with the ministry of God's Word. And then one day, the Holy Ghost breaks through and we go from flat to fluffy in a moment. We go from being in unbelief and dead in our sins to being alive to God in Christ. And from that moment, it's all uphill. Oh yeah, we will be going through many trials and tribulations. But we go from faith to faith to faith to faith until we go to heaven. All right? Because once we get it, we finally are at rest in the grace of God. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.